Perhaps you remember that classic animated film, The Lion King. Simba, the main character, at one point has fled from his family and his homeland, is living irresponsibly. He's left because he believes he was the cause of a great family tragedy. He remains in that place until his deceased father appears in a vision and says to him, "Simba, you have forgotten who you are." I wish I could do it in the voice of James Earl Jones, who voiced that character, but that's a great question to all of us. And maybe there's some voice from the scriptures that need to ask us the question and make this statement, "You have forgotten who you are." As we study now through the first chapter of the book of Ephesians, we're going to learn who God says we are. And we're going to find out that we are greatly blessed. In fact, today we're going to learn that we have blessing upon blessing stacked up in our lives and in the spiritual reality of our relationship with our God. Will you read with me verses 4, 5, and 6 of chapter 1? "Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved." There's three blessings packed into these three verses, and this is going to take us a little bit into some deep territory. We're going to be left with some wonder and some mind-boggling concepts, but I think you're going to find out that God has said to us that we are loved, that He has blessed us, and indeed He has stacked blessing upon blessing. The first one is simply encapsulated in this word, the word chosen, just as He chose us in Him. Now, a couple of preliminary things. Notice the phrase "in Him." That's a very commonly repeated phrase and variations on it in the book of Ephesians, multiple times. And I want you to begin listening and paying special attention when you hear the "in Him" or "in Christ" or "in Jesus," because it's all pulling us back to the reality that He has blessed us, that He has stacked these blessings upon blessings. With that in mind, take special note of that. But He says, "We have been chosen." Now notice when this takes place. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. We have this reality that He has chosen us. Now, let me just get this out of the way quickly. For many people, this causes us some problems because God made a choice in eternity past, and that brings all sorts of questions. Well, if God made a choice to bring us, as it says in this verse, into a place of holiness and without blame before Him in love, then where's our responsibility? And if we don't have any responsibility, why do we need to even try? Why do we even need to share the gospel with those that don't know Him? Well, I want to assure you of something that you're going to see really all throughout the scriptures. Anytime in a passage of scripture where it talks about God's choice, there's always some indications about man's responsibility, really woven right into the text. You might want to look ahead. Down in verse 12, he uses the phrase, "first trusted." In verse 13, "in whom you also trusted." In verse 13, "having believed." In verse 15, "heard of your faith." There's always this balance between God's choice and God's action, and then there's human responsibility. For us, we want to put that together and have that make sense. How is it that God can make a choice that is irrevocable, and how can man have total responsibility? How can both of those things be occupying the same space at the same time? Well, in fact, as best I understand Scripture, they do. There is man's responsibility and choice and will. There is God's sovereign choice to choose us even before there was anything, even before there was time itself. How those fit together, I don't know. I want to just say this to you. Make sure that that's not something that we try to explain away. And make sure that's not something that we try to explain everything, that we know everything, or pretend that we can't explain it all. It leaves us in this category of mystery and wonder. And very frankly, that's the place where worship begins. When we just reach this point where, "God, You have said it, I can't figure You out, but I know this, it's good, it's great, it's something for me." And think about this. Maybe you can remember back in the day when you were a child, at least imagine this scene. We're dividing up teams to play ball on the playground, and there's a captain on each team, and he's choosing the people to you choose that person, and you want to be chosen, and the worst position is to be chosen last. We all want to feel special. We all want to feel this love and appreciation for our skills and our value. Well, God chose us. It's actually different than that. God didn't choose us because we were of value. It is His choice that makes us of value. But it's that same emotion that we were chosen. Before the foundation of the world, He put His stamp of approval on what we would be, holy and blameless. So think about this. He wanted us to be holy. This is very positive. That's the positive part of it, that all of us would be fit to be in His presence. Blameless is the absence of the negative. All the things that could be blamed, all the stuff on us, gone. God predetermined that. God desired that that would be true, that that would be the place. Notice it says in this verse, and I want you to look carefully at it with me, in verse 4 again, just as He chose us in Him, so this was within the sphere of His work, the sphere of His character, the sphere of His purpose, before the foundation of the world, before time, before there was anything, this is what He determined to do, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. This is all about Him. It's all in Him. It's all our relationship with Him. You think about this. God determined and loved us so much. Now, we sometimes run to other places. What about the unbelievers? What about other choices? Well, just stick with what the Scripture is talking about. With His children, if you're one of His children, He chose you. You were included. You were not left out. You were the focus of His attention even before there was any of the things that capture our attention in this universe, in this world. He loves us. Notice what it says. Before Him, last two words of verse 4, in love. How thankful should we be? How wonderful is it that we have a God who loves us? We sometimes don't feel very lovely. Sometimes we have trouble loving other people. We tend to make love very conditional. We're sort of programmed that way. But God says, I love you, and I have always loved you, and you as my child, I determined long before there was anything that you were going to be with me in my love, without blame, with all the holiness of God applied to us. Blessing number one, chosen. Now, let's just think about what that means for us for just a moment. First of all, I just want to start with this phrase. When we realize the blessing of God in our life, that we are chosen, that indeed is enough. Let me rephrase that. It is enough. In fact, it is more than enough. It should be that which just absolutely changes the way we frame how we think about ourselves and how we determine, working in cooperation with the Spirit of God, in accordance with our knowledge of the Scriptures, to walk in obedience to Him. You see, it is enough that He has chosen us to obey Him. It is more than enough for us to choose to obey Him. Let me just ask you a question. It might make us all a little uncomfortable. But if you had to put a letter grade on your obedience to the things that God has said to us in the Word of God, the things that the Spirit leads us in, what kind of letter grade would you give yourself? A plus? B minus? C? D? Where would you fit? Now, I know that our evaluation is sometimes skewed and that sort of thing, but at least asking the question should help us. Am I obeying Him and loving other people? Am I obeying Him in spending time with Him? Am I obeying Him and seeking to order my life, confessing my sins? How about starting with the Ten Commandments as a good diagnostic? By the way, Jesus takes the Ten Commandments of Exodus chapter 20, and in the Sermon on the Mount, in the early chapters of Matthew, He elevates them not just to action, but to intent. Not just to behavior, but to what we think about and what our motivation is. So where are we in all of that? You see, the fact that He chose us is enough for us to reframe our thinking. Don't forget who you are. You're an object of God's love. You are a person that He chose. Leave all the other issues out on the side. And sometimes we do get into that. I saw a quote recently from Charles Spurgeon, who was a Baptist preacher from back more than a century ago. But he said, human responsibility and God's choice are like the rails on a railroad line, on a railroad track. We see them as separate, but somehow they converge in the far distance into one sort of concept of God, and it's all wrapped up in Him. The great news is, you don't have to fully explain these things. You don't have to even fully understand these things to thoroughly enjoy these things. Blessing number one, you're chosen. That's more than enough for us to obey Him. Now, go to the next verse, verse 5. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the pleasure of His will. By the way, I would encourage you to read these three verses again and note how many times God speaks of Himself, how many times He speaks of us. You're going to find out He speaks of Himself much more than us, because He takes the initiative, and obviously He takes the initiative when it says in verse 5, having predestined us. That means he worked out a process that would flow into time, determined before time, but flow into time, so that the outcome would be, as it says here, to be adopted as sons. And that's the next word. That's the next blessing piled upon a blessing. We are adopted. Now, we are all sons of a mother and a father. Most of us were probably raised by that mother and that father. Some of us were raised by someone else, but we still had a mother and a father. That's just the way it works. But when someone adopts a child into their family, it again injects into it this reality of choice. Someone made a choice. Someone wanted. Someone decided. Someone sacrificed. And He uses this terminology of adoption here in verse 5 to say, I wanted you. I decided I wanted you. I set out to have you. And He says, I adopted you. Notice that again it says, adopted us as sons, again now, by Jesus Christ. Here is the process. How did we become sons? We weren't worthy. God didn't have to do what He did, but it was by Jesus Christ. We're going to find out over in chapter 2, and there's a couple verses in a couple weeks I'm going to encourage you to commit to memory, but we'll wait till we get there. But it talks about the reality that we were saved by the work, the finished work of Jesus Christ, not our works. There's many people who live with this mistaken, and with all good intentions, with this mistaken reality that I can be saved by my own good works, that I, through my own efforts, can come to a place where I can somehow work myself into an acceptable position before God. God, who is absolutely holy, we're never going to reach that in our own practice level of absolute holiness without His work. So Jesus died on the cross for us, that Jesus is our Savior. He did for us. It is in, as it says, by Jesus Christ. Let me just say this. If you're trusting in anything else, if you're trusting in anyone else to say, I am worthy of heaven because I don't do those things and I've done these things, or I'm trying to offset my bad by enough good, it doesn't work that way. It says right in the text, right here in front of us, that this adoption as sons is by Jesus Christ. By Jesus Christ. And notice now, we have a little bit of what what went into place to make this happen. You know, and sometimes we go into all these things trying to figure out, why would God choose us? What was He thinking? What was the construct of the rationale behind it? Well, the reality is this. This is all we know, so we don't want to go beyond the Scriptures. And we don't need to go running and searching for causes that the Scriptures don't tell us about. But notice what it says in verse 5. According to the good pleasure of His will. End of argument. Why did He call us into this relationship to be adopted as sons? It was His pleasure to do it. It was His will to accomplish it. We are His sons by His will and His pleasure. Beyond that, I don't know. Beyond that, I don't really want to even speculate. But it says something very good about God, that He would include us. And it says something very good about this blessing that He has layered upon us, and this multi-layered blessings, set of blessings that we're looking at, that we're adopted as sons. In other words, He brought us into a family, or let me rephrase that. He brought us into the family, His family, not just a family, but the family. We were brought into His family as sons, as His own sons. When adoption goes through the legal proceedings, legally and by every right, when that child is adopted, those adoptive parents have all the rights, all the privileges, all the responsibilities of a biological parent. God says, you were alienated from me. That's the reason we needed to be adopted. And it was sin that separated us. But Jesus died on the cross to pay for those sins. And if we will but believe in Him from the human side, that's how we interact with Him. If we will believe in Him, then we become part of His family and His sons. Have you trusted Him as your Savior? If not, I want to encourage you to at least have a conversation with somebody about this essential reality in time and eternity. You can just use the website address you see on the bottom of your screen. And if you go to there, calvarywv.com/talk, there's links there. And if you, by responding to those links, it'll put you in touch with one of our pastors here at Mount Calvary. We'll contact you. We'll have a discussion with you by whatever means you feel comfortable. If you want to even remain anonymous in the beginning of the conversation, that's okay. We'd be happy just to share with you and answer your questions and help you hopefully see that this adoption is by Jesus Christ for His good pleasure. Now, if He saved us by His will and pleasure, He's brought us into His family. Let me go back to the phrase we used a little bit ago. The reality is that indeed is enough. It is enough. What more could He say? I adopted you. I determined in advance that this was what was going to happen. And as a child of God, that is what has happened. We've been adopted into His family. I did it by my own will and pleasure. No one forced me. It's what I wanted to do because I loved you so much. It is enough. Let me check that. It's more than enough. We talked about it's more than enough to cause us to obey Him. Let me just add another concept. It's more than enough for us to find our security in Him. We live as fearful people much of the time. And frankly, as you look around this world, there is much that scares us. I mean, sometimes, I know some of us, I've talked to some people in recent days, I'm limiting how much I watch the news because it's scary out there. Well, we want to be informed. We don't want to terrorize ourselves by overwhelming ourselves with information. But where does our security come from? Is it come from just hoping things will be better tomorrow? Is it come from our own actions? We need to be involved in certain things that we could do to make things better. But where does our security come from? How about the security that goes into eternity? It comes from this reality that He has adopted us as His sons. Just as any of us as a parent would do anything that we had to do to protect our children from harm, our God has even more love for us. And sometimes we can't always protect our children from harm because of the limitations of humanity. But God doesn't have those limitations. He can protect you, and our security comes from Him. Why? How do we know that? Because He's adopted us. That is enough, and that's more than enough for us to have our security. What we need to do is focus our mind on these blessings upon blessings. That's why we're going slow through this chapter. I want them to sink in deep. And may God just reveal to us how much He loves us and how safe and secure we are in Him. Now, we've got one more blessing, and let's look at it as we go forward. It's in verse 6. Now, notice how verse 6 begins, okay? To the praise of the glory of His grace. To the praise of His glory. Now, we're going to come back exactly what that means, but I want to show you something as we go forward. If you go down to verse 12, you see a very similar phrase, that we who first trust in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. And then the last verse of this long sentence, remember this is one sentence, 202 words in the Greek, from verse 3 all the way through verse 14, because He ties it all together in a package of these blessings delivered. But He says in verse 14, the last phrase, to the praise of His glory. Whenever you see something repeated like that in Scripture, it's repeated for a purpose, to get our attention and to help us to focus on it. So He begins with this reality is, all of these blessings are ultimately for His glory. Sometimes we like to make it all about us, and we are the beneficiaries. We need to understand that. We need to make sure that we remember who we are. But ultimately, it's not just about us, because everything isn't about us. And how often do I need that reminder? How often do we all need that reminder? It's not about us. It's all about Him. So, to the praise of His glory. But now we come to the third word we want to look at, which is going to encapsulate this third blessing. Let's go back over the other two. Chosen, that's verse 4. That we are adopted, that's verse 5. And in verse 6 it says, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. Accepted is the word. Accepted. We all seem to go through life being on this grand pursuit of acceptance. We do it even in our nonverbal communication. We look at people and we want to get feedback. Are they listening? Are they paying attention? Are they smiling? Are they reacting positively to us? We listen to the verbal cues of the words. We see how we're treated. We see how they treat other people in relation to us, in comparison to us, I should say. We're looking for approval. In fact, some of us, if we admit it, we can get into an addiction, an approval addiction. We just live for the approval of other people. Well, let me take you one step way beyond that. If you're one of His children, you have His approval. Does that mean He approves everything that we do? No. But the ultimate end is who we are in Him is accepted. That's what it says. Accepted. Welcomed. We are qualified. We are fit. We are suitable. We pass the mark. We reach that level that God says, you're accepted by Me. You are fit to be with Me. Not just live life with Me, as great as that is, but you're fit to spend every moment of every day, of every year, of every century, if those words even apply, in eternity, for all eternity. You're accepted. Now here, look at the phrase again, in the Beloved. This is His work. This is what He's in, according to the good pleasure of His will. It was what He decided in verse 5. In verse 6, that He made us accepted in the Beloved. It's what He made us. Sometimes we think of ourselves as unimportant, as not significant, left out, left behind, marginalized is a buzzword of our day. And the world tends to say, especially of us who are people of faith, your opinion really doesn't count. Your opinion is really, we don't want to hear your opinion. But God says, make sure you understand who you are. Don't forget who you are because of what I have said. And what has He said of you? As a follower of Jesus Christ, you're accepted in the Beloved. Not just now, but for all eternity. Accepted in the Beloved. We're welcome. We're brought into His family. Now, let me just go back to what I've already repeated twice, and this will be the third run through, okay? The fact that we are chosen, that's enough for us to be obedient. The fact that we're adopted, that's enough for us to find our security in Him. And friends, when it comes to this reality that we're accepted, it is enough. In fact, it's more than enough for us to serve in a very special role in His world. Now go back to verse 6 again. Let's look at it one more time. To the praise of His glory. Somehow we display His glory. Sometimes we need to praise Him for His glory, but what He has accomplished in adopting us and accepting us and choosing us, that action, it's not just us, but that action of bringing us into His family and into a right relationship with Him is what is to the praise of His glory. In other words, in the great courtroom of reality, you and I are exhibit A that God is a gracious and loving God. If God can take us, rebels that we were, sinners that we are, and make us fit to be adopted as His children, accepted in the Beloved, chosen before the foundation of the world, that is exhibit A above all others, that indeed God is worthy of praise and His glory is on display. Only a glorious God would do something like that or even conceive of something like that, let alone to predetermine that that would be the case. With that in mind, let me just remind you of this. We need to see ourselves a little bit differently. Don't be like Simba out there running around having playtime when we need to hear the words, you've forgotten who you are. You are chosen. You are adopted into His family. You have been accepted in the Beloved. With that in mind, we need to look at ourselves as the display pieces, exhibit A of His grace. And somehow, as more we think of ourselves that way, I really believe it will alter our behavior. We choose to love people not because they deserve our love, but because I've been a recipient of God's grace. I need to be patient with people because God has been patient with me so that my conduct will start to measure up to my ultimate spiritual calling in the Lord. It is more than enough that He chose us. Obey Him. It's more than enough that He has adopted us. We need to find our security in Him. It's more than enough that He has made us accepted in the Beloved. That's more than enough to help us live our lives with this reality in mind that we are the exhibits of His grace. Let me just read this little phrase one more time. That's the first phrase of verse 6. It's all to the praise of His glory. And I hope you will worship and honor that God, and I hope you will begin thinking in terms of these things are more than enough to motivate me to respond in a worshipful, obedient way. Remember, friends, don't forget who you are. You're a person who is greatly blessed, a person who God has stacked upon us, blessing upon blessing. By the way, remember now, even in this one sentence, we've only just begun, and we'll continue to study more of these. But God has chosen us, adopted us, and He's made us accepted in the Beloved. That, and friends, is always and ever more than enough.